Hey, what's happening out there? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I like to talk about the erroneous and wrongful theory of mistaken identity, where a shark mistakes a surfer for a seal. Most of the time, it's the white shark. This idea has been created in the 80s, where white sharks were still seen as rather simple animals. Hence, a simple mistake was seen very likely. I always felt that this theory cannot be correct, because what I realized early on, sharks very often try to explore new things, so exploration was a more likely answer. And now, here, I'm actually quite happy to announce that we finally have a paper accepted, a scientific publication, that disproved the mistaken identity theory. My co-author was Alexandra Quester, another shark behaviorist. Should you like a copy of that paper, send me a note through Let's Talk Shark, and I'm happy to send it to you. Or you can look up the Journal of Marine Biology, where it has been published. Let me give you some background here. As popular as shark bites are among the general public, there is a large amount of incorrect information associated with these incidents. Just for example, human blood. For how long did we believe or made believe that human blood attracts sharks? And you know, of course, there are so many other erroneous informations out there. In the wake of a shark bite, levels of erroneous information soar. And through continuous reinforcement in the mainstream media, these errors may eventually become unchallenged facts. The same with this mistaken identity. So two scientists had this idea that there is a mistake. They published that idea but didn't prove it. Some shark books picked it up, and from then it was a fact. But to be valid, the theory of mistaken identity must support its basic theorem that a mistake by the sharks can indeed be established as the reason for biting a surfer. And that has never been shown. So this theory has never been properly tested. And, well, until proven correct, it should merely be seen as an assumption and not be used in a factual manner. The species most associated with this assumption of mistaken identity is the white shark, which commonly feeds on pinnipeds, seals, sea lions, and these type of animals. But it only does that once it has grown large enough to hunt them down. Smaller white sharks are likely not fast or agile enough to successfully hunt pinnipeds, and the tooth structure is also not yet suitable for gouging. Gouging is when a shark bites a piece of flesh out of a larger prey. Consequently, there is a minimal size, or likely a size range, where white sharks start to become more effective in hunting pinnipeds. Suppose now that a white shark would mistake surfer for seals, the minimum size of sharks biting surfers would therefore be similar to the minimum size of those sharks who successfully hunt and kill pinnipeds, right? So we started to reconstruct the size of white sharks that bit surfers in California from 1966 until 2015. Here I'd like to thank Ralph Collier from the Shark Research Committee and Marie Levine from the Shark Research Institute, who digged through their archives and helped us with the files. Thank you very much. What we found was that half of the bites on surfers were from animals between 2.5 and 3.5 meters, which is too small for going after pinnipeds. But that in itself would not have been enough, since we had to go after the idea that the shark is indeed not making a mistake. So we developed a method where we could compare bore damages with wounds. And the most important fact was that a fatal bite, which we had fatal bites in California, were not seen as the ultimate outcome of a bite, but we actually looked at the wound structure. So for example, if you nick a femoral artery, it can happen with a very superficial bite. But of course, back when we used it was a fatal incident, hence that was the outcome. But we have to go with a superficial wound in order to compare. This ability that we could now compare a surf incident where only the board was damaged but not the surfer, or the surfer was injured but not the board was damaged, the board was not damaged, opened up a very new way of analysis. So we used a scale from 0 to 5, where 0 equaled some bruising but no board damage, and level 5 was extreme damage to surfer, limb loss, and whatever, and a total damage of the board. What we found was that 13% of all incidents showed no wounds or board damage. So it were simple bumps or collision with or without forcing the surfer off the board. And of the incidents that caused damage to the surfer or the board, more than 72% reflected either minor or moderate damage. So we come now back to the mistake. Considering that a pinniped is highly agile animal, and a white shark success rate is only about 30%, the likelihood that a shark has to attack with high speed in order to create a massive wound and basically stun the prey, so making it incapable of escaping, would be the natural outcome. But the majority of these bites were minor or moderate, meaning if the shark would indeed mistake the surfer for a seal and think it is a seal, the seal would actually be able to escape. So if a mistake would indeed be happening, the wounds and damages to a board would be much more extensive. Otherwise, the pinniped could still take off. When the first white sharks evolved more than 15 million years ago, it's quite a while, most of these seal and sea lion species already existed. So many of these now extinct shark species belonging to the white shark lineage, so there were actually other, what we call a white shark, it's similar to the one today, roamed to the shores much earlier than the recent white sharks, and the pinnipeds were already part of their diet. So such a long period of parallel evolution must have enabled early sharks of that lineage to recognize the shape and form of a pinniped from every angle, and not only the silhouette from directly below. Have you ever wondered that when you look at these books where you see the mistake in identity theory, you always look at the surfer or on the seal from right below? But chances are the shark actually is not below a surfer or the seal, but looks at the seal from the side. So although there is a general resemblance when looking at from below, when you look at the surfer from the side, well, it definitely does not look like anything a shark could know. This idea of the lineage of these early white sharks is further supported by the concept that these sharks possessed a search image for pinnipeds. As the term implies, a shark carries an image in its mind which is compared to any image encountered until matched. See an object from below towards the bright or brighter surface would be the easiest, but it would also work, of course, when looking at the seal from the side. So what I'm saying is that most of the time a white shark is not encountering a surfer from right below, and the silhouette does not look like anything similar. So right there, the theory could not be correct. So the theory of mistaken identity can be rejected because, as I just said, many of the white sharks involved in biting surfs are too small to go after seals, and the damages to the board or the wounds on the surfers are too minor and would not be enough to actually prevent the escape of a seal. So why do these bites occur? Most of the time, it's exploration. The shark tries to figure out what we are. Most bites that we analyze are of exploratory nature, very superficial. And of course, that the wound looks more severe most of the time is due to what's called a secondary wound. The shark grabs you and you pull the leg or the arm out of its mouth and you create a much more severe wound. So a secondary wound. So, but although the theory can now be laid to rest. And I'm glad we finally could destroy one of the last big misconceptions about sharks. The question remains, what about the surfers with the massive bites? Well, they exist, although out of these 67 incidents we examined, there were only 8 with a massive wound. We already have an idea and start to work on it, and I hope that I can reveal the results down the road on Let's Talk Shark again. But the fact is, even these bites that we with the massive wound are not because of a mistake. But before I finish this episode, let me give you some more food for thought why this theory of mistaken identity could not be correct. Consider the sharks that bite surface at the east coast of Florida. These sharks are not white sharks, they're carcharinid species, gray sharks like black-tip sharks, spinner sharks, silky sharks. Size range 6 to maybe 8 feet long. These sharks do not feed on seals, nor do they live where seals are common. So right there you would have to change the theory of mistaken identity. Well, why these scientists never came up with it, I don't know. For me, it's mind-boggling. The scientists came up with such lame theories and did not feel the need to prove or disprove their ideas. They're just basically badmouth sharks, and everybody believed it. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Again, if you like that paper, drop me a note and I'm sending it to you. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.